There's things we do know, and there's things we wish we did know. And that's a good thing because that's growth. That means we have not yet obtained all things, but we're walking towards that purpose that He has purposed us to be in Him, in Christ, for eternity. Meaning that there's a place in the body of Christ for you. And if you're in the body of Christ, will you act like Christ? Come on, somebody say something. Amen. Will you act like Christ if you're in the body of Christ? Question?
Yes.
Answer, yes. How do you do that? Another question. There are some properties that God has given us through His blood, and thank God for Larry and his bringing you into Romans, because Romans is the first. It's actually a very essential book that you know, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, because it's actually the foundation of your Christian faith in New Testament believers. And it takes you out of the realm of death and you brings you into the realm of the living. Up until Jesus' resurrection, everyone died with the expectation of Him coming as the Savior with the blood that would be able to reach into eternity and deliver God's people that believed. There's only one deliverer from death, and that's Jesus. And even though we live in a realm where death reigns right now in humanity, yet we live in a realm where life reigns in us. And as Larry goes on in 6, we will see that he's going to ask us to move from death into life, or into resurrected life. And by faith, but you know, isn't it wonderful to confess something? What about when you confess it and you don't do it? What about when you confess it and you don't intend to do it? What do you think happens there? Man, it gets really quiet. Well, we're living in a merciful and a graceful God. Yes, we are. But He has given us tools in which we can move into resurrected life. He's given us words of instruction in which now we can experience a life that's greater than death. But how many of you know that life struggles to live in a realm of death? But let me tell you something. It's stronger than death. As long as it's alive, death has not swallowed it up. And if we can take these words of truth, glory to God. Honey, give me the next slide. I want to start actually and wherever I can see it. I want to start in, I'm thinking it's 1 Timothy. Let me go to it. I want to show you something here. Hallelujah. In fact, I'll look at my notes real quick. And I'll know exactly for sure where I want to go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to go to 2 Timothy 1 and 9. If you'll bring it up, please. Glory to God. 2 Timothy 1 and 9. And this is pretty cool because we're talking about a grace now that goes beyond just personal grace, where you're personally saved. It goes beyond just fellowship, where a church is should be. How many know that churches should be taking care of one another? So you're going to have to be more open when you have needs. And so we went to the fellowship. But I'm talking now about the grace that has no boundaries. No fellowship boundaries. Not even personal boundaries in yourself. But actually expands where this grace has no boundaries known unto man. No religious gates can keep him out. See, we always think that if you're a particular denomination, if you don't come up to a higher standard of understanding, you lost out. It's not true. Because religion can't save you. Jesus saves you in a life-giving spirit. But you have to respond to that life-giving spirit. Your brain cannot make it happen only. But you got to have it to start with. I mean, that's what it works out of. But then what do you have to do? You have to what? Yield what? Your members at what? As instruments unto who? What for? Hallelujah. Who has saved us, listen to this, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Exclamation point. Now, I know there's a comma there, so you need to stop there for a second. But according to his own purpose and grace, meaning you can do it. Meaning that it's not just a statement there of choice, but meaning that he has chosen to give you what you need to do it. To come there. To receive. To step up. To now begin to live as he has commanded us to live. Which was given us how? In Christ Jesus. Now you see you have the plural there. But if you look at the two proper words, you see it isn't in Jesus Christ now. And I keep emphasizing this because if you say you're particular about words, then you need to be particular about how they're placed. And now it doesn't say Jesus Christ. And Paul, he does the one that makes the shift, you see. Hallelujah. It's in Christ Jesus before the world began. Meaning that in his spirit, now we know that Christ is what? The anointed. Plural. Not singular. And it's not a plural Godhead. It's a plural body of Christ. And you're a part of that spirit of Christ. If we can get this, if we can absorb it and not shrink because we think that if our works measure up to the Christ, now we can move into it. No, we have to move into it by faith because he said it. And now we do the best we can in our imperfect state yet. He still shows off who he is in you. And me. Hallelujah. And can I add this? Although we have expressions of who's spiritual, who's more spiritual, and who isn't spiritual, remember what we dealt with about Paul and Apollos and about Peter? Do we remember what Paul said there? Do you realize that this is what he was relating to? That it's not a man that we're looking at for our example, but it actually is now we are functioning in the Christ, and in the midst of that, the Christ is now becoming greater and greater and greater, or his anointing is becoming greater and greater in me to do what? To fulfill his commandments. we won't go up to it because we were there this morning. But in 3 John, we see this. Don't we? Yes. And it's explained very, 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 very clearly that because of, as we take on Him, and as we take on His identity, hallelujah, He becomes the ark. His Holy Spirit in you becomes your ark. That even though you're in the waters of all kinds of confusion and all kinds of things that are happening that's in the world, yet there is an inner, there is an outer, hallelujah, ability of mind and will and emotion that goes beyond the circumstances now, that supersedes where you are, hallelujah. And as we push on Him, and I'm telling you this because you have to do this if you want to see results for yourself that are lasting, that will always be there. I was looking at Carl, and he has such a gift. God gave him a gift. But what would happen if you didn't begin to let it become a part of who you are? Would you still have the gift? Not like you have it now. But it will never be denied that as soon as He goes to it, it begins to become developed because He begins to operate it. He's given us a gift. Hallelujah, of His Son, and He's purposed it before the foundation of the earth, that we might be just like He is. Why would we want to be any less, or think that He would require any less? Would you want that? No. Definitely not. So it's not of our works, but according to his own will, He purposed, and His own will, His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So when did this begin? When did this grace begin? Well, I thought it was a difference between the law and grace. Could it be that the law was a portion or the beginning of His grace? It was. You know, I'm reading a book it's really a wonderful book, and it's actually a history of when the Europeans came over and began to possess this country. And as they were coming, and as they got into the land, and as they began to be a governmental body, guess what their constitution was? Guess what they pulled off to take and get wisdom in order so that people could live in harmony and there could be a law given? Because they were having problems. You see, some came over with good intentions. Others were shipped over with no intentions. And so when they were here and there was no law, you had hierarchy. You had a terrible thing. Let me tell you something. You must have law inside of you, or you will go mad. You must know how. What's right and what's wrong. You must begin to test it. You must have that discipline inside of you. I got to tell you something. Before He created you, He put it there. It's just been as our faith increases. Do you realize that we have more faith now than they had in the Old Testament? Do you know how come? Because the Creator of all things came, paid the price that was necessary, and now we have faith to go far beyond the Old Testament. Far beyond that. Not apart from that. It's not less. It's not something that we can't take and find out that that was a good instruction, because that's exactly what it said the law did to us. And you can't know where to go without instruction. I love it. I love the prophets. I love the law. Hallelujah. But I couldn't do it in and of that it alone. It had to take this indwelling Spirit of Christ, this you asking Jesus in your heart. Did it say that up until Jesus come that they would bow down before Elohim? Is that what it said? I don't think so. I don't think it did. I think he came in the El gods, and I think he came in the Jehovah gods, and I think that's all a part of who God is. But it said, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that what? That's it. It'll never be a part. We'll never grow to the point that we go beyond or above our Savior. Sometimes you can get so educated, you can lose sight of the simplicity that He's given us. Everyone that asks Jesus in their heart, they're not asking my permission or your permission. They're asking His permission. And when they do, He has chosen to come in. Not by any works. Not by anything like that. And when He comes in, He now begins to prepare us for His coming. And I thank God that He continues to come to me. When I'm sick, when I need an answer, when something's wrong, I pray, I press on Him until I get an answer. And He's always been faithful to give me the answer. That's His coming. Just one of them. I want to get to know Him so well that at His final appearing, I'll know exactly who He is. And there won't be no sheeping back or anything like that. There won't be no, you know, there won't be no, hey, Dad. Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad. Oh, no. I can't wait. Throw my arms around Him. And I don't know how long I've been wanting to do this, Lord. I mean it. Hallelujah. Because this is so cool. Now, honey, if you'll take me to the slides. I kind of want to start there. I want to show you that before. Hallelujah. And you can read it. And you can see how wonderful it is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A place where God lives by His Spirit. If we'll go to Ephesians 4 and 6. How many want to know where He lives? Glory to God. Then let's, as we... One God, one Father of all, who is above all, what? And through all. And where else? And in you all. Now we're not Southern per se, because they use that all the time, because that's probably where they got it from. You know, listen, this whole continent was governed and established by the Word of God. It's what brought it to be a nation and a strong nation. It was the constitutional writings, hallelujah. Even though there was flaws in the men and the women, and even though there was corruption on different sides, yet there was a standard of law that brought justice. And that's what it'll be in your life. You're not going to be judged. You know, you'll be judged by the things you've done in the flesh. But you see, you're forgiven until there won't be no flesh left in you. As we respond to the Word of God, as we begin to live this Word of God, all the flesh will be gone out of you. Oh, help me, Jesus. Okay, let's go to the next one, honey, on the list. So he's in you all, right? Yes. That's where he lives and dwells? Hallelujah. Are we getting this? Man, you got to get it. Are you excited? Do you want to go home? Don't say no. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God, it dwells within you? Don't you know that? Well, sometimes I don't know if he is. Well, he is. You know that sometimes you don't know he is because you've been bad or you've sinned or whatever. Say, Lord, forgive me. I know you're there. And he will show up in an instant. And he doesn't show up with condemnation. You've been forgiven. And you know, I really like this forgiveness things. You have to confess it, but then you have to do it. It isn't just saying it. When he talked to that girl, that was caught in adultery, he didn't say, go, hey, you know, your sins are forgiven. Go on and run your house. Did he? Why do we think that somehow pertains to us at times? But Danny, you don't understand. Some things I don't do on purpose. It just comes up again. You know, like if you had a habit of exaggerating a little bit or something like that. He's in you. And what he's doing is, he's given us the truth now, and as we respond to the truth, as we ask the Lord to forgive us, and we quit doing it, we say, I'm sorry, you know, that really wasn't the whole truth. That's a nice way of saying, I lied. You have to give yourself room enough to become what he's told us you were going to become. And as you do, he never does it in condemnation. He's not out to say, I told you so. You know, like most people, we know one another and say, I knew they were going to do that again. I knew they were going to do that again. How do you know? Because you're hoping they do so you can say it. So you can be right. That's stupid. I mean, excuse me, I shouldn't say that like that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Why do we do that? Because we haven't learned that if we pray for one another and we stop condemning one another, that we can actually help them. And maybe we can step in once in a while until pretty soon it's out of their life. My God. You know, not condemning. Not saying, I told you so. None of that stuff. Hallelujah. But being having this God that lives within us be strong enough because we can resist it. Hallelujah. We can help you resist it. I give my life so that you might know these things that I know. Hallelujah. So that you can walk in the freedom in that which I walk in. But it's not me. It's Christ in me. And you'll see, it's really rewarding when you're not looking for any kind of glory, but it just comes out of you. And the thing is, it's not you. It's the Christ in you. And so you can say, you can do it. Is there anything I can do to help you? Do it. Hallelujah. Give me another one. Oh, mighty God. You got a preacher on your hands. I am so excited about this God. You know, and I'll tell you what, I know you've heard these things, but I'm telling you, I'm encouraging you to do them. You got to go past hearing. You get doing this, you're going to get excited. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 6:16. Hallelujah. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. How does that happen? As we begin to live and walk and talk what he tells us to live and walk and talk. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Give me the next one, hon. Oh, mighty God. So there's a place where God dwells right now on the earth. He's not only in the heavens, he's on the earth as well. He's in his people. Glory to God. I don't know why that's doing that, but to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? What's the mystery? You mean Christ can be in you and you can be glorious? Come on. You not only can, you are. And so this is where Christ dwells. He dwells in his people. He dwells in you and I. Hallelujah. And as he's dwelling within us, beloved, would you enjoy that this week? It's crazy. I get one thing done. I got a list of stuff. Hallelujah. I'm a stuffed person, I guess. Hallelujah. Let's stand.